Hi, it's Perry Shields. I'm the author of Bridging the Strait. It's a salute to the first man who flew across Bass Strait 100 years ago.
And of course, all Tasmanians know his name, don't they, Perry? Or no, actually, I don't think they do.
That was my whole point in writing the book, that I'd never heard of him, even though I flew across Bass Strait in 1947. I thought people in Tasmania should know who this man is.
And who is Lieutenant Arthur Long?
He's a Tasmanian boy who was born at the end of the 19th century, and he went off to the First World War, became a pilot with the Australian Flying Corps, came back to Tasmania, brought an aeroplane with him and hoped to start flying around Tasmania. His family have a farm in Tea Tree, and there's still family living in that property. Arthur's uncle went to England as well and was quickly recruited into the British Flying Corps because they had discovered that Australian pilots were much more suited to flying than the Englishmen. There were 200 of them recruited. After his uncle, who is also his best friend, became a pilot, I guess Arthur thought, maybe I can do that too. Arthur had been on the ground there, Egypt and France, for 3 years before he trained as a pilot. His uncle was Audubon Palfreyman, quite a successful pilot, but sadly he was one of the numbers that didn't make it back to Australia. There was actually a demonstration of an early flight in Hobart just before war was declared in 1914. So the boys would have had the opportunity to see that plane.
What sort of flying did Arthur Long do during World War One?
Fighting over France and Belgium, bombing during the closing months of the war. He was bombing the retreating troops and the aerodromes and things like that. Very low flying. So on one occasion, the shrapnel came back up from the ground and actually damaged his plane and damaged his leg. Blown up by your own bomb.
Obviously flying very, very,
very low.
Yeah.
When the war finished through the Bolton Paul Company, he had a plane specially designed to carry a passenger and to have more comfortable seats, biplane.
Now, before he flew across the Strait, he was already very much a pioneer here, wasn't he, in aviation?
Yeah, yes. They did some flying down here for the Peace Loan Fund, flying a government plane. He actually had a crash at Wynyard in that plane. When his own plane arrived and it was reconstructed, he flew people from Hobart up to Launceston. He did aerial photography around the lakes for the electricity company.
Hydroelectric Commission?
Yes, and also was involved in the first airdrop of newspapers of the Mercury between Hobart and Launceston.
So beginning a very long rivalry between the Examiner and the Mercury.
Exactly. He was hoping to get it to the northern coast before the Launceston paper could get there, but got lost on the way because of low cloud. He ended up finding that he was over Maria Island.
That's quite off course.
Well, quite off course, yes.
You mentioned the crash near Wynyard. He must have been okay, obviously.
The planes were landing in anywhere they could find to land, and he was landing on the sports field at Wynyard. Hit a rut, lost a wheel, damaged the wing and the propellers. There were two young boys that witnessed that. They collected some pieces of wing and some of the struts and even a piece of the canvas. And when they grew up, handed them on to one of the sons. And he has returned them to the Long family and now donated to the Stanley Discovery Museum.
How did you get on to the whole story of Arthur Long?
My son was living in Stanley volunteering at the Discovery Museum, and we saw an article about the 75th anniversary of the event. Been interested in family history for a long time, but the story started unfolding. I certainly didn't start off to write a book, but that's what it ended up.
The historic flight across the Strait was preceded by another fairly challenging flight, wasn't it, from Launceston to Highfield?
Yes. He had heard that someone in Victoria may be going to fly to Tasmania, and he obviously decided, no, a Tasmanian was going to do it first. So he took off from Launceston to fly to Stanley, the closest place to Victoria, but it was such buffeting winds that it took him 3.5 hours to get to Stanley. eventually, and he realised that that wasn't the day that he could fly across the strait, and so he planned to stay at Stanley until the weather was suitable. Luckily, it was suitable the next day, and he got up early and off he took.
And he landed at Highfield Farm, is that right?
Yes, and stayed overnight with the Fords there.
Most people know historic Highfield House. How close to that was the paddock where he landed at Highfield?
Very close. We're not absolutely sure of which paddock it was, but very close to the house.
What was his route to Victoria?
Straight for the lighthouse at Aries Inlet and then continued along to Torquay. He'd rigged up an extra oil container that he was hoping to be able to just pull a rope and refill the oil, but the rope broke, so he had to land to try and fill up on oil. So he found a paddock near Torquay and actually landed there to top up the oil without turning the engine off, because in those days you had to have someone to spin the propeller. Then he took off again and headed for Port Melbourne.
And he was met by quite a few people there, wasn't he?
Not really, because they didn't really know he was coming.
He really needed a publicist, didn't he?
Maybe they knew and they were afraid he might not get there. I don't know.
Do we know where that plane ended up?
There is a suggestion that it may be in pieces in the Canberra Museum.
It would be nice to have it in a museum.
Yeah, I've only been told about that.
The somewhat surprising twist in this story is that once he got there, he didn't come back.
In flying around through the Peace Loan Fund, he realised there were not many places in Tasmania to land. He started the Aviation Limited Company and opened a landing field at Glenroy, which operated for about the next 18 months. He went bankrupt and he became a stockbroker after that, and quite a successful one. But he did fly again in the RAF during the Second World War.
He's a dashing, handsome-looking young fellow.
He certainly was a handsome young man. And he did have a society wedding at Toorak to a young actress, but that marriage didn't last very long. He did some first flights over there as well. He did the first flight to Mildura, to Adelaide.
A lot of pilots didn't really live very long. How long did Arthur live?
Well, Arthur lived till 1954, but he had stopped flying commercially by that stage.
What did you learn about Arthur on that personal level?
I didn't learn a lot about Arthur's personality. I've had several interviews with Arthur's younger son, and he said his father never talked about it, which was not unusual for return servicemen. But I was lucky enough to be given letters that Audubon wrote about, you know, Australians slightly breaking rules when they shouldn't, yeah, and what they were feeling when they were flying and things like that. So that was lovely.
It's often the case that when you immerse yourself in a book for 4 years, it leads to another book. No?
No more books. No, I'll go back to my own family history.
Well, it's a lovely book to have done. And as we established early in this conversation, barely a soul here in Tasmania knows of Lieutenant Arthur Long, and they really should. What an adventurous and groundbreaking character.